who is deserving of all of our praise and our adoration. You're visiting with us. Know that you are our honored guest. We appreciate your presence. It's always a joy to have visitors to come and to be with us in our worship to our great God. We are involved in a wonderful theme, and on last Lord's Day, I shared with you concerning why our faith should be rooted in the Word of God. And I made at least three observations. The first one was that it claimed to be the Word of God. Secondly, the writers of the Scriptures is another reason for my faith being rooted in the Word of God. And then I shared with you fulfilled prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord, is another reason for being rooted in the Word of God. Today, what I'd like to do is expand on that and share with you another reason why we should root ourselves in the Word of God. And that is because the Word of God is relevant. The Word of God is relevant. When you think in terms of relevant, you're saying that it's significant. You're saying that it is applicable for today. I don't know about you, but there's a commercial that Ron Reagan, the son of the late President Ronald Reagan, features. And he has been featured in this television commercial proudly proclaiming his atheistic views. The commercial has appeared on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow Show, The Morning Joe Show, CNN, all of the stations that I watch, I see this commercial. And when you see the commercial, he ends it by saying, I am Ron Reagan, a lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. And when he says that, a chill just goes all down my spine. Here's a person who is very blatant, shameless, and has no reservations concerning his atheistic views. One doctor compared using the Bible for guidance to using a textbook from the 1920s for teaching a chemistry class. A skeptic might even ask if you would use a manual for an old defunct computer to guide you in using a new up-to-date computer, how relevant would that be? What they're saying is that the Bible, being an old book, is outdated and it is not relevant for us today. In a culture dominated by the abundance of text messages, tweets, status updates, we are desperately in need to have biblical understanding. We wake up every morning to the news of the day. Most of it relates to understanding and dissecting what our president has tweeted. We need to be more concerned about what God has said rather than what Donald Trump has said. When you consider our lesson, I want you to turn with me to a passage of Scripture, which is found in Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to look at verse number 12 and verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and verse number 13. For the word of God is quick and it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This passage tells us that the Word of God is relevant for three reasons. Number one, it's living. Number two, it is powerful. Number three, it is decisive. When you think in terms of the author, as he relates this particular word for his hearers, he is in the midst of speaking concerning the Israelites who left out of Egypt and were unable to enter into the land of Canaan because of a lack of faith. And he makes reference to the fact that the gospel which was preached to us was preached to them. In other words, the good news of God saving was preached to them as it is preached to us. God was relevant then, and God is relevant even at the time that the writer is writing. The problem comes is when God says something, when God speaks his word, it is not mixed with faith. If a person hears the word and their heart does not receive it in trust and reliance, then that word is not able to be effective and is not able to produce what the desired result that God intends for his word. And so these millions of people who came out of Egypt, many of them seeing the miracles and seeing the wonderful works of God, refused to accept it by faith. And because of that, they failed to enter into the promised land. So what the author is doing, he is saying, please don't be victimized by a lack of faith and trust in the word of God. And so he poignantly says, the word of God is quick, which simply means the word of God is living. The word of God is active. The word of God is powerful. And then he says, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the very intent of a man's heart. And so when you look at this, I want to just share with you why it is relevant. Number one, it is relevant because it's a living word. It's a living word. That's what the author says. It's quick. It's living. I know that it's living because of the source of the Word of God. The Word of God comes from God. The Word of God is spoken of as being Jesus himself. In John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible said the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were created by him, and without him was not anything created that was made. Notice the next phrase, in him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the word of God is life. If you go back to the very beginning, life came into existence out of nothing. Out of nothing in this world that you and I see. But it came because that he who is life breathed life into that which had not existed. So when you think in terms of the word of God, it is powerful in the fact that it is a life-giving source. The Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt among men. And the Bible says, and we beheld his glory in the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ knew that he was the word of God. He knew that he was the creative word of God. Jesus Christ knew that if men wanted true life, real life, they were going to have to come to him. And that's why in his teaching, he would tell them that I am the bread of life. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have life in you. He is not talking literally. He is speaking of his word. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? Because listen to what he says in verse number 63 of John 6 and verse number 63. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. It is the spirit that giveth life. That's what he's saying. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The spirit profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Watch this. The spirit quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, he said, they are spirit and they are life. So whenever a person hears the word of God, that person is hearing life. That person is hearing that which is living. Jesus Christ, in another part of his teaching, he emphasized the fact that the word of God is just like a seed. All of us know that when you plant seeds, what comes when you plant those seeds and you nurture and water those seeds? You know, life comes out of that. Plant comes out of that. So when he used an analogy for us to understand his word, he says his word is like a man who throws seed out on the ground. But he said, you better be careful, because the efficacy of that seed is in the heart of the man where that seed is planted. If a man has a hard heart, then that seed that has life will not produce. If he sows that seed in a heart that is shallow, it will not be able to have roots. And when the storms of life come, that man will not be able, and is tested, he will not be able to stand because his roots are shallow. But he says, and then if a man receives the seed in good ground, notice what the Bible says in verse number, Matthew 13, verse number 23. The Bible said, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that, watch this, heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth, watch this, beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So if a man needs to think in terms of the relevancy of the word of God, it's a living word. It's just as effective today as it was when God first spoke the word and the world came into existence. And all a man needs to do is to mix it with faith, receive it with faith. I know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know you have not seen God. You have not been able to talk face to face with him like you do one another. But you got to believe. The world testifies that there is a God. Your body testifies that there is a God. Everything about what you are witnessing, what you see, testifies that there is a God. And this is his word. The scripture is his word. He breathed life into this. And all I'm simply saying is that a living book is a relevant book, and you need to accept that. Listen to what the Bible says. One more passage, and then I'll move to point number two. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22, it's very beautiful because it illustrates the same point. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Here it is, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Why is it relevant? Because it abideth. Why is it relevant? Because it liveth. Why is it relevant? It because it endureth. Forever, the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But God said, my word shall never pass away. So you and I need to understand that Jesus was right when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You show me a man that lives by the word of God, and I'll show you a man that's really living. I'll show you a man that's really productive. I'll show you a man that is able to overcome circumstances and obstacles because he has the word of God, which is giving him life and giving him what he needs. When you think in terms of this passage, Hebrews 4 and verse number 12, not only is the word of God living, but the word of God is powerful. And that word simply means effectual. I've been saying it even since I began, but I want you to see even further how the Bible is relevant. And all you have to do is think in terms of, and I thought this was interesting, there's a magazine that that is passed out, and the magazine had this topic, and is the Bible relevant? And I thought that was interesting, and so I read it, and it made some very good points. And so when I read it, I said, this is interesting, and I hope you find it to be interesting. Here's the way they set it up. The premise was, what are the worst problems facing mankind today? It starts with a question. What are the worst problems facing mankind today? And the reason they ask this question is to find out if the Bible is relevant, if the Word of God is even effectual and powerful for today. And then it says, war is a problem, pollution is a problem, crime is a problem, and corruption is a problem. And then it says, now consider principles that the Bible teaches. As we recite some of the many principles taught in the scriptures, let's ask the question, would the world, and this is crucial, would the world be better, or would the world be a better place if we followed the word of God? Now, here's the first thing. When you think about warfare, the Bible teaches love of peace. This is what the Bible says. In Romans 12 and verse number 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. If a man really believes in the Lord and that the Lord says vengeance is mine, there is no evil that's going to happen that God is not going to recompense. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If Putin needs some food, give it to him. All right. Well, you know I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. Amen. And if Trump needs some, give him some. All right. I shouldn't do that. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now listen to the principle. Here's the principle. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now that's what the Bible teaches. A man doesn't even have to be a Christian. Just do that. If you just live by that principle, I guarantee you that that'll bring life into the world in which you and I live. When you look at another, the Bible teaches, here's another principle. And I think the world would be a much better world if they would just follow this. Mercy and forgiveness is what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. A man doesn't even have to be a Christian. If you just follow this principle right here would make the world a much better world. Learn to be merciful toward one another. Learn to forgive one another. Here's another, racial harmony. The Bible teaches racial harmony. The world would be a better place if we would just follow the word of God. I hear people saying, well, the word of God is not relevant. It is relevant. Here's what the Bible says concerning race. Acts 17:26. Listen to what God says. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Well, what is he saying? He is simply saying we ought not have race problems, because all of us have a common entrance and beginning in this world. We all come from one blood. We all come from one man. And that one man is Adam. Adam is, we are all from the loins of Adam. Whether you're white, black, green, yellow. And that's why the Lord had to deal with Peter when he told Peter to go to Cornelius' house. He said, you got to go, Peter, because the Lord is not a respecter of person. The Lord wants everybody. If the world just learned the principle of God concerning race, we wouldn't have the problem that we have in the world. Don't tell me the Bible is not relevant. It is relevant. What about hatred and greed and immorality? The Bible speaks plainly concerning how that we ought to hate greed, and we ought not participate in greed. Oh, I wish I had the time to read all of the scriptures, but let me just read one. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 1, here's what the Bible said. Imitate God, since you are the children he loves. Live in love as Christ also loved us. He gave his life for us as an offering of sacrifice. Soothing aroma. This is God's word. This is not the King James Version. Sometimes I like God's word and sometimes I don't like God's word. This time I like God's word, so I'm using it. He said, don't let sexual sin, perversion of any kind, or greed even be mentioned among you. This is not appropriate behavior for God's holy people. It's not right that dirty stories, foolish talk, obscene jokes should be mentioned among you either. Instead, give thanks to God. Here he's telling us, if we just live by this principle, our homes would be much better. We would even take cable out of our homes. Amen. Strike that one. All right. Just make better choices in choosing the channels. Honesty and hard work. Oh, this is a good one. The good principle. If people just live by being honest, Hebrews 4, verse number 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Stop stealing. Don't tell me that's not relevant. Folks steal every day. Man, they're so shrewd now until they can hack into your account. All right. Working with your hands. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, I'm telling you, you young people, listen to me. Don't let people tell you that the word of God is not relevant. Human nature does not change. Times change. But nothing is new under the sun. People have been killing and people have been lying and people have been stealing from the beginning of time. And that's why the Bible speaks to our character. It speaks to how you and I can become better people. So it's not antiquated. It's not outdated. You live by the word of God. I promise you that if you would take your family and be guided by the word of God, your family will have life. Your family will be productive. Your family will be prosperous. You know why? Because the God who gave this manual, who gave us this textbook, he knows how you can be happy in the world that he gave you. Use the book. Study the book. Don't just leave it there and let it collect dust. Somebody said if everybody would dust off their Bibles at the same time, it'd be a dust storm like you've never seen before. Man, that book is not old. Get that book. Read it. Did you hear that young man who prayed this morning? It was laced with scripture from the beginning to the end. That didn't just happen. He didn't just write that out. That's a part of him. It came out of him. Now you follow that young man. You want to do a test study? Follow him. Study him. Watch him. Go on his job and see how he works on his job. Go to his home. Watch him in his activities. Get a testimony from his wife. You are married, aren't you? Newlywed. That's the way to start out. Start your marriage right. We have too many divorces. We have too many marriages going on the rocks. The Bible is relevant. God is speaking to us. He's telling us how to live, how to enjoy life, how to get the best out of life. We do everything but teach our children the word of Almighty God. And I want our children, to be successful. But our children have to know the word of God. Get them some of those books and some of those puzzles and get them some of those apps that have Bible trivia. Teach them some of those jokes in the Bible. It's a good joke. It's a good joke. There's some good jokes about Noah. Some good jokes about Jonah. Somebody said, you know why Jonah? Do you know why Jonah didn't like the sea? He said, because it was fishy. Anyway, I didn't tell it right, but anyway, it was a good joke. All I'm trying to show you is that, make the word of God come alive. Get some flashcards. There used to be a time, and I know my time is getting away from me. There used to be a time before you, all of the family, sat down at the table to eat. And before you would eat, you had to say a Bible verse. And the most famous was Jesus wept. At least you're in the Bible. Everybody had that one. It is relevant. Now they have many translations. I tell you, we are a blessed people. It's on your phone. You can program your phone to wake up by it. Well, my last point, the word of God is decisive. The word of God is like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And really what it's doing, it is illustrating how that the word of God is very decisive. In other words, you don't have to keep trying to hit with it. He said, if you take it, and you deal with whatever it is, whatever verse or whatever teaching or whatever truth, and you can believe it. I mean, you can believe it without doubting, and it will effectually do what it's supposed to do the first time. I mean, you know, it's penetrating. It's so sharp that it'll cut right down through the bone to the marrow with one blow. Pew. Soul and the spirit. And I know I don't have time to deal with this, but when I hear people raise this question, what is the difference between the soul and the spirit? Can you be definitive about the soul and the spirit? What is the soul and what is the spirit? And every time I hear somebody try to make a definite thought about what one is and the other is and what one is not and what the other is, I know that person really really is going beyond what the scripture is really trying to say, because it's so, I know I have a soul, I know I have a spirit, and I know I have a body. But if you want to tell, if you want me to show you the difference between the soul and the spirit, there are times that the Bible uses them interchangeably. Sometimes it's so difficult for you to know when it's the soul and when it's the spirit. Sometimes the soul is associated with the body, and sometimes the body is associated with the soul. Until you say, but the Bible says the word of God is so living and powerful and penetrating that the word of God can go right down and penetrate your body, your soul, and your spirit. And the word of God got it all right there. In other words, here's another way to look at it. The word of God penetrates your spirit soul until it is shown in your body. God, let me show you. The word of God is penetrating, is decisive. Let me tell you something about your mind. Let me show you something about your mind. And I got 5 minutes. I want you to go to a passage of scripture. And this is very interesting because the word of God is the only thing that can deal with this mind that you and I have. And I'm being honest about that. Your mind and my mind is pitiful. Go to Matthew 15, 19 through 20. Put that on the screen right quick. I just want to show you this. I want to show you something. The Bible said, for out of the heart, this is the heart, proceed evil thoughts. He didn't say good thoughts. You know, that's read right, and that means Jesus is talking. He said, for out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Are you with me? Now, that's what Jesus said, comes out of your heart. Now, for it to come out of your heart, that means it has to what? Beware. In your heart. Now, I know somebody said, well, Brother Gibb, that's not in my heart. No. It is in your heart. Go to Jeremiah 17, verse number 9. Hurry right quick. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. I just want to show you. And I want to show you how effectual and decisive the word of God is. The heart is deceitful above what? And is how wicked? And he says what? Who can what? All right? Now watch this. He is simply saying in this passage that it's only by the word of God that's able to penetrate. The world cannot get better off of Dr. Spock. Off of Oprah. There are no philosophers. There are no educators that can penetrate the evil in our hearts. There's only one thing that's powerful enough to get down into all of that evil. That'll go right down to it and identify it and show you exactly what it is. It's nothing but the word of Almighty God. Now you think it's not in you. You're deceiving yourself. The only way I can get all that stuff out of me is that I got to get in the word. Word of God or deal with it. Stay away from it. And all that stuff in your heart and in your mind. The only thing that saved me and saved you from you is the word of Almighty God. You ought to be here every Sunday. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. And him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Hard the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The word of God is able to do what God desires for it to do. He didn't say it unless it was able to do what he said it was going to do. can split the Red Sea, then God can split your heart and your mind and make you a better person. I'm telling you, it's relevant. Some of those politicians need it. No, I know. We'd have some better tweets coming out if somebody had the word of God. I know I'm in trouble. I know they're going to have the FBI and everybody else out here on me. But I'm telling the truth. Darcy, you can't be better unless you got the word. You can't make yourself better. Well, I think I'll take this class and I'm gonna improve me. Go on with your yoga and all that. Yeah. But I tell you what, it's not gonna do what the word of God will do. That's why the psalmist said, I'm gonna read it every day. Because that's the only thing that's going to penetrate into our hearts. And it's powerful. Because that's God's word. You've heard the word. Believe it with all of your heart. The Bible is relevant. Don't let anybody make you believe that it's antiquated, outdated. It's relevant. Read it to be wise. Study it to be sure. Make sure that you obey it, that you'll be able to make heaven your home. Will you come today, giving your life to Christ? You've heard his word, believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin, confess him to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you come up in Christ, you'll be a brand new creature. Old things will be behind you. New things will be before you. Live a good life with the Spirit of God inside of you. Let the Lord sanctify you by penetrating your heart and renewing your heart and renewing your mind with his word. And then you'll start seeing love, joy, peace, goodness. All of that will start coming out. But that's the fruit of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh. God bless you to come. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing.